year, new me.
2015.
I'm aggressive in the theme. Now I chant everything.
Wow. Gun control.
Oh, we're off to a great start.
Hey, Gillies, do you Gillies believe in gun control?
No, we're not having this discussion.
Okay. Welcome to Gilmore, guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we're technically...
legally.
Binding by law in the state of Montana. The Gilmore guys. Just in Montana, though.
Only Montana.
The other 49 have not yet recognized us.
We don't even record in Montana, so we're not anything.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Byte Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Guys, it's 2015. It's a new year. Unless you're listening to this in 2016.
New Zealand.
Which case, it's still a new year.
New Zealand time.
It's the new year. It's a new us. I'm no longer sick. I was sick on that Gilmail Guys Volume 2 app.
The new year cured him. 2015.
Yeah.
It's an antidote.
Do you have one resolution for the new year?
Just stop playing games.
That's cool. Like video games?
Oh, no. Just general
mind games.
Mind games. No. My genuine resolution is to write more often, because if I want to be a writer, I got to do that.
Like as a daily ritual?
Not even daily, because I think that's the kind of thing where I'll stop and just be like, oh, no, I'll catch up tomorrow. But just like if I...
And you'll get so like burdened by the pressure of
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Yep. I'll just start writing very stupid things as a part of keeping up my momentum. But no, I just want to start writing more. What about you?
I think writing more is a big thing for me this year, too, as well as... I've wanted to do a food thing, but I don't know what to do. If you gillies out there have any recommendations.
Eating food? You want to try eating food?
Yeah, I want to eat food for the very first time in my life.
I've been meaning to say, I've hung out with you a few times, and I've never seen you eat a damn thing.
No, I just don't eat food.
You just absorb, like, photosynthesis?
Yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, listen, it's not easy being green, am I right?
Hey, works.
New year, new us. But gillies,
we're plants now.
And we're planting our feet firmly in the podcast universe.
Segway.
Oh, shit. But before we get into the discussion of this ep 210, we got to give some love where love is due.
And that means it's time for the iTunes review wrap.
But not yet. I still got to drop it. Don't look over here. I don't want you to see what I'm about to play, man.
I can't read that far.
Okay. But for new listeners, if there are any, or if we've reached our ceiling yet.
For those of you who made it a New Year's resolution to check out a podcast.
Yeah. You know, Serial has really legitimized the form. Adnan, we love you. Come on the show.
No.
But this is for people who have gone onto iTunes and taken the trouble and the time and the energy and the effort to leave us a review on iTunes. Hopefully positive. But iTunes reviews are great. We love them. It helps with our rankings. It's wonderful, and we love them. Need I say more? So here we go. We're going to wrap the names of the last 2,000 or so people that have left reviews. So let me drop this
Seven.
Sick beat.
Drop that. Oh, my God. This is perfect to wrap to.
Oh. What?
Drop it, DJ K.
Hey, thanks for leaving us reviews today. We want to give you a stars holla and just say, Tessa 220, I thank you. Many thanks, Tom Hanks. Come on the show, Agent Cody Banks.
Oh, Agent Cody Banks was great, but not as great as G-Girl QWE. Thanks. Want to say happy birthday if it's your birthday, and if not, well, that's cool, because you weren't born today. Hey, that didn't make much sense, but John Calvin, we want to say thanks, and hey, how you doing? You doing good? I know you left a review, but I hope you're doing all right.
We just want to talk to you. We love you, John Calvin. Oh. Emily fan for life. That sounds like a girl I want to make my wife. What?
My wife.
So check me out on Twitter. Actually,
X Kevin T. Porter. Hannah Cardigan, you are cool. I like the sweaters you wear. It keeps you very cool. That wasn't a rhyme, but I thought that it was cool. And on this last verse, I'm still gonna say cool.
Lorelei 227, when I think about your nice things, I am in a heaven. My name's Kevin, I'm in heaven. Lorelei 227, embrace yourself for the Bracebridge dinner. That was good.
That was good.
I felt okay about that. I felt like I didn't say anything too damning. Too damning. I mean, I probably said some damning things, but nothing too damning.
You said some pretty explicit stuff that we cut out and people will never hear.
That's true. In the last episode, instead of saying the F word, I put an air horn over it.
Did you really?
Yep.
Good.
Yes, it is good. It is good. So let's get into it, guys. Episode 210, the Bracebridge dinner. This episode, Demi, given that you're a newcomer to the show and I'm a veteran fan, you should know that this episode is widely beloved by the fandom.
It is.
When it comes to top 10 and top 20 episodes list, this comes up a bunch.
I would believe that because I really like, I mean, not spoil, but I really like this episode.
No spoilies, bro.
We're getting to a point of the show where I feel like I'm liking the episodes a lot more, even if they're not making big strides in what the show is.
You mean in terms of plot?
Yeah, in terms of like where it's like when we get to the end, how am I going to rate it? Almost most of the episodes of season two have been like up there for me.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it was a real rocky start, truthfully. And with all the Max stuff and just the dissolution of that. And I feel like it's really popped up. It's gotten better. It gets better, kids. So let's do it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture.
Where we take every pop culture reference in the show and string them together in a little supercut, play it back, and see if we can make heads or tails of it. So this is Pop Goes the Culture, episode 210, the Bracebridge dinner.
They're the old England Abbott and Costello.
We are Anne Heche, speaking her secret language to God and looking for the spaceship in Fresno. Crazy.
Like a bizarro battle of the bands.
Come on, we could pull a Ben-Hur and take down Taylor's sleigh.
Kind of looks like York.
Charlie Parker was late to everything.
Charlie Parker had more drugs in him than a Rite Aid.
We have to rent Godfather 3 on DVD.
Blasting this song by that awful woman. Who is she? The tall, bony one? Married to the deceased mustachioed congressman.
Cher? That's the one.
The year of do you believe in life after love? Oh,
wait, hey, Chuck Mangione, you want to back up a step?
Coppola actually defends casting Sophia.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the Gilmores of our lives.
I'll send him a Def Jam comedy tape. That'll cheer him up.
The horses heard me. I speak horse language. I'm Dr. Doolittle.
Last night, did I sing Hotel California?
Did you ever see that I Love Lucy where she goes to Buckingham Palace?
The Joyless Love Club.
We're competing against the Michelangelo of snow.
And we're Ernest Builds a Snowman.
How about Pixies reunion coming along?
She uses the Prince version of writing.
Nice. Is that a Stella McCartney?
It's a Walmart.
Like a young Tammy Faye Baker.
And then I'll either get back to reading the Iliad or we'll play Monopoly.
Ooh, it'd be like The Shining, except instead of Jack Nicholson, we have Rune.
I thought an alarm would go off, like in the Thomas Crown Affair.
I thought maybe a certain depressed man and his wife could stay there.
Woody and Sun Yi.
It's got a chef. Washington Irving, not Irving, my accountant.
I stood beside them and their boom box, and I hummed Mozart's Prague Symphony as loud as I could.
Boom box.
Boom box.
What a great reading of that.
Why does he hate Cher so much? What's wrong with Cher?
I don't think he he does say, oh, that awful woman.
Yeah.
Maybe all he knows of Cher is the Do You Believe in Life After Love?
That's enough. That got me hooked.
Yeah.
I'm not hooked on Cher. I like Cher, though.
Hooked on a Cher. And I'm Stephen Colbert. I don't know.
Nice.
Woody and Sun Yi jokes.
Oh, my God. Was it too soon then?
This was 2001.
Who knows when that broke?
When it broke, I mean, Woody and
It never broke. It happened, and people were like, "Oh, yeah. We know about this now."
In a way, Woody was always broken. IMO, sorry guys, he's a weirdo.
You know, I'm totally on your side about that. I am not a Woody Allen apologist.
Yeah. Lorelai, I just need some room in the inn tonight.
I don't like how you made fun of me and my wife.
Can you imagine if, like, Woody Allen was, like, a townie? Like, not a starring role, but just had as many lines as, like, Bootsy
show. He would be, like, Rune if Rune had, like, panic attacks.
I thought it was like in the Thomas Crown Affair.
I didn't know how to dust the top of the painting.
Oh, boy. Rune, what the hell are you doing in this episode, Rune?
My first note on this episode was Rune sucks. And I hate him as a if he were
as a person.
I mean, like, I hate
as a character.
The character, yes. As a person, but I know that, like, I'm so detached from him that I love him because of how bad he is.
Right.
And
how much
everyone just agrees, like, this guy sucks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I love his argument with Michelle in that first scene that he appears.
Pretty great.
It's so good.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
It's the hallmark.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
Any other pop culture refs we need to go over real quick before we get into it?
There weren't any that I was like, what is that? We're getting to a point now where I feel like maybe I'm getting smarter or they're
getting
exhausted.
Stupider.
Yeah, like maybe they're just, it's all Hungry Hungry Hippo jokes from now on.
I wish. That's a great Simpsons joke. Let's play the waiting game. The waiting game sucks. Let's play Well, let's get into the Netflix synopsis of this episode. While Rory struggles to keep the budding rivalry between Dean and Jess under control, Lorelai invites most of Stars Hollow to an elaborate feast. Here's my problem with this one. Budding makes it seem like that's like a positive adjective, right? Like I have a budding career. I have a budding whatever.
Right.
Like it seems like progress in the good way. Whereas this is not, you would not want a rivalry to be budding.
It's also not a huge, it feels like the C plot of this episode, maybe.
It's literally one glance at the end,
yeah.
Which we'll get to. But it's one glance at the end. So try harder, Netflix. Oh, and while we're on the subject of Cher, which we're not, but it was 30 seconds ago.
I'm always on the subject of Cher.
I think that brought Cher friends, Cher buddies. That brought us to the most positive Michelle line in the history of the show, where he, just with all the earnestness in his little voice, while they're talking about, do you believe in life after love, just says,
I like that song.
Of course he does.
We should play that after the end of every theme song we do at the end.
Yeah.
Just go,
I like that song.
I like that song.
I mean, it's like, who was it? Someone was questioning whether he was gay or not. Oh, it was Louis Peitzman, right?
Yeah. I mean, he did say that thing about him hitting on women when he went to the...
The ladies, yes.
The ladies.
Of course.
I don't think he's gay. I think he's feminine, but...
But you know what? It's 2015.
Yeah, it's 2015 now.
Deal with it. He's black and French and effeminate, but is straight. He's a paradox, and we love him. He is black. We still get tweets saying, Michelle's black. I'm like, I know.
Maybe catch up to the podcast.
Hey, guys.
We've addressed it.
In full.
We're mean to people who talk to it. No. But going back to Jess.
Yes, Jess.
My second note of this episode was, I hate Jess. It went Rune sucks, and then it went I hate Jess, and somehow I still decided that I like this episode.
And if I were to make a similar list of bullet points... Mm-hmm. My third would be, I love townies.
I do. Oh,
love
my God.
Townies.
It was a great episode for townies. Yeah. It was like a bottle episode where they were just like, let's bring everyone we can to this one location. I do love townies.
We got Babette moments, Miss Patty moments.
Got Bootsy.
Maury. Mrs. Kim even.
Jackson's barely a townie, but we got some good Jackson moments in there too.
Yeah, okay, do you know what my favorite Jackson moment is?
What?
It's when... Okay, so Suki's laying it out for everybody. She's like, Rune, you do this, and Jackson, blah, 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 blah. And she's like super stoked, and she's like super into it, super cute. And Max is like, I'm the worst. This sucks. And Jackson's like, hey, Suki put a lot of work into this. Oh, did Kirk say that?
Yeah. I was like, who's Max?
Oh, did I say Max?
Yeah.
You know why? Because his name is Max Perlick, the actor who plays him. Who plays
Jackson?
Rune.
Oh.
Sorry, I've screwed this all up.
Nah, it's cool.
Should I take it again?
I can't believe I'm realizing now that I just said, who's Max? Like, I forgot about Max Medina. I was just like, oh, he's out of the show.
He's just at the rodeo now.
But no, yeah, it's cool. And yeah, and Kirk says she called you Peaches 12 minutes ago or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kirk's typing on that laptop from a Die Hard movie.
Oh my God. It's the kind of laptop they used to direct planes. It's out of control.
Absolutely. Some good Kirk moments. I feel like we haven't gotten a good lot of him in a bit.
These two episodes, 210 and 211, are very good. Like, they're very good for Kirk moments.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when he's trying to stay in character when Lorelai is just egging him on.
Mm-hmm.
What was she egging him on about?
Lucy. I love Lucy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, I think the ones where she goes overseas are the ones. He was like, no, it's the ones in Hollywood. Oh, you know what? We talked about this already, but that scene with Rune and Michelle, he's like, just take the peak shot down.
Yeah.
He comes over to him and says, what does he say? But he says, like a Mexican jumping bean.
Yeah.
But the way he hits Mexican is borderline.
I thought he was going to stop on Mexican. I was like, oh, no, no, no.
Yeah. It was a little too much emphasis.
And it was.
Michelle put
like
a little flair to it.
Mexican jumping bean.
Let's talk about the bookends of the show. How this show begins and ends this episode. Of course, I'm talking about Rory and Lorelai.
Elsa?
In the town square.
What?
And Rory says,
do you wanna build a
oh my God, why are you doing this?
It's like it's gone away. This is what she says to Lorelai. She says, we used to be best buddies, Lorelai, and now we're not.
Oh my God.
I wish you could tell me why.
I like that you are talking over this and you like, I feel like you prepared a speech to this.
It doesn't have to be a snowman.
Oh my God.
And Lorelai's like,
that's kidding. Not at all like what happens.
But basically,
first of all, in Frozen, they don't agree to build the snowman, and in this film, in this television show, they immediately agree.
True. Can we though agree that "Do You Want to Build a Snowman" is a much better song than "Let It Go"? "Let It Go" is an anthem.
"Let It Go," I still am not on board with it as to why it's such a big song. Like, I think Frozen's a terrific movie. I think "Do You Want to Build a Snowman" is fun. I feel like all of the songs are sort of, I don't know. I think for me it goes, "Love is an open door," "Do you want to build a snowman?"
Good.
"Let it go," and then I don't even remember any of the other ones.
Did you see that video of the super attractive married couple singing "Love is an open door"? They're in the car, they just mount a GoPro, and then their child is in the back seat, just not into it at all, and they're just like, "Our mental synchronization," and they're like super into it. You gotta look it up. It's so good. Anyway, welcome to Frozen, buddies.
Welcome to the Frozen fans.
Welcome to the Frozone.
That's us.
I would say, you know what? And just like Gilmore Girls, Frozen was great, I feel like, for women characters.
Because very much so.
It was like one of the first, or the first one I've seen in a while, where the princess wasn't just defined by her relationship to the prince. It was so...
No spoilers, but that resolution, pretty good.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
So they're building a snowman.
I have a lot to say about the snowman in the show, by the way, because I got real mad about the snowman at the very end. I don't want to spoil it yet, because it with regards to this episode, but like, I'm sure we'll talk about more. But the snowman building contest, I don't think...
They suck. They're not good at building a snowman.
They think that they're the runners-up? No.
Not even.
If I were judging, I'd be like, oh, okay. Like, so, I know that they were trying to be experimental and adventurous, but it wasn't a good snowman. I don't think that... Just the entire snowman building experience made me more mad at Jess because of what happens at the...
Yes.
Okay. Well, okay. Should we just...
Yeah, let's just do it.
So, they build a snowman, and next to them is this fucking Michelangelo-esque dude who's building a snowman that looks exactly like Ebenezer Scrooge, and it's insane. It's crazy talented. It's like when you go to the sandcastle building competition, and you see those guys building, like, dragons and stuff. It's insane. It's good, and it deserves to win.
It's beautiful, even though he's a little creepy. When he waves at them, I was like, ooh.
It's clear that this is the guy that they're like, oh, this guy can build a sandcastle. I'll just put him in the show.
Yeah.
But he did a very good job, and he deserved to win, and, like, no one else came close. But they decided that this guy was a ringer brought on by another guy who wanted to win the prize, which is, like, a handful of quarters. What did they say it was?
Yeah, it was, like, a collection of, like, collectible quarters or
what?
Something.
That's such a town.
Literally change.
It's a perfect gift for a town, though.
Mm-hmm.
Like, collectible quarters, I don't think of, like, we're going to the big city. That's, like, the kind of thing where it's, like, these are the prize collection in the town, and someone stole the quarters, and it's a big deal. No, but they don't deserve to win. And then at one point, Jess is just like... A lot, the dudes in this show keep doing a thing where they will, against the women's wishes, like just jump into their carriage or like jump in the wet path of them going to school in their locker. Like Tristan and Jess, I see right. no difference.
Well, those two dudes for sure.
Yeah. And so he jumps in the carriage that Rory is riding it on, a lonesome. And then they pass
like a little asshole. When he did, I was
like
just
a little piece of shit.
Like him, and then who was the other person in this episode? Every time they spoke, I just went, ugh. Just everything was the worst.
I don't know who else was insufferable.
I think it was just him. Okay. I actually think it was just him.
And then there was, so they pass to the town square where the snowmen are, and Rory says something like, oh yeah, that snowman, if only that guy weren't there, we would win. And that's not true, because they were maybe the fifth best one in the thing. But he says something like, looks like Bjork, and she's like, that's what they were going for. And then it becomes like, oh, cool, does Dean know about Bjork? Like,
okay, let's get into that. Okay. I think this is really, really worth talking about, actually. Because in that moment, it seems like the value is, does he understand this piece of pop culture? And it has to do with taste.
Yeah.
So you're into Bjork. You like Bjork. Your mom likes Bjork. Does Dean like Bjork? So what, let's just break down, like, what is he trying to communicate with that? And is it even important? Because I think you and I have both experienced, as time goes on, and friendships, like, it seems like all friendships and then ergo relationships are built on a commonality.
Right.
Right? It's like you have something in common with someone else. So you explore that together. And it doesn't have to be a lot, but it's something. But getting so specific to the point where it's like, does he know Bjork?
Yeah.
Seems to be a little overboard.
It's like, does he know experimental music? Like, what kind? Is he in the same music as you? It's like, no, specifically Bjork.
Yeah. Because more to the point, I think, again, you and I experienced this as we've gotten older. Like, what matters more? The taste of a person, the bands they're into, the movies they love, or just their character? Are they just like kind? Are they nice?
Right.
Are they fun to be around, regardless if you like totally disagree
on
media or politically? Like, do you enjoy them?
Yeah. Do you enjoy being around them, regardless of whether or not they listen to the same weird shit you listen to?
Yeah.
Which is such a dumb metric for anyone to sort of be like, well, I don't think he's right for you if he doesn't like, you know, Bjork. You like Bjork. He doesn't like, It's like, do you have to fit every checkbox of liking all the same? Like, they've made it so clear that Rory and Dean are compatible on so many other levels. Like, the first thing that they bond over is books and stuff.
Yeah, the very first line is Rosemary's Baby. So this is what pisses me off about the show, truthfully, is that they totally just toss that out the window.
Right.
So Rosemary's Baby is not something that the dean of season two would know, right?
Yeah.
He'd be like, who's Rosemary? Like, it would be something dumb or zero-ish sounding like that. Whereas in season two, Jess would be like, oh yeah, Rosemary's Baby, Mia Farrow's greatest turn, blah, 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 blah. Like, he would like know and be cool about it, like that Holden Caulfield bullshit. But they just had to separate them. It just makes me so... I just think it's sloppy storytelling, yeah. And sloppy storytelling, but then also, I do think that it's just such folly. And for anyone listening out there, let me tell you how to have a relationship and how to do your life.
Hey, idiots, pay attention.
Like,
Love's in town.
I love Bruce Springsteen, but you know what? I'm not going to marry a girl that I met at a Bruce Springsteen concert automatically just because she does too.
Yeah, there are a lot of women at Bruce Springsteen concerts. You got to get like 25 divorces. A
lot of women over 50. Mostly women over 50 or 40, truthfully.
I can't think of a Bruce Springsteen song reference.
I did meet one girl at a show in Dallas that was super cute, and we stay in touch a little bit after that. But not too much. Anyway.
Were you guys traveling on a rocky ground?
Oh, shit.
Boom! Oh, that's one of three Bruce Springsteen songs I know.
How did you know that one?
Honestly, when it came out, a friend played it for me and was like, you have to hear this. It's not very good. Oh. So somehow that's one of the ones that I know. So yeah, Bruce Springsteen. What is it? Wrecking Ball? Is that the...
Bring on your wrecking ball. Not, I came in like a wrecking ball.
I would love to hear him cover that.
Oh, I would too. Hey, he did Royals. He really did. Never seen a diamond in the flesh. He 100% did. I'm not kidding.
No, I believe you.
But anyway, just because a girl loves Bruce Springsteen, that's not the, again,
no, that's
like,
not
like
a,
you said, that's not the metric. Just because Dean doesn't know Bjork, hey, does he respect Lorelai? Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
Do you, Jess?
No.
No, you're just a little asshole kid who jumps on people's
slaves. I think that's the way more important thing. The fact that Lorelai and Dean get along so well because he's like put out there is like, I need you to like me. It's very important. I respect you. That moment was such a good, like, such a strong thing for their relationship. And Dean, Jess comes in, and is immediately just like, I don't give a fuck about anyone in this town.
So dumb.
Yeah. I don't like Jess. But anyway, what I was saying before is, so they pass the snowman, and she sort of hints at the fact that, like, they would win if it weren't for that snowman.
They pass the what?
No, I'm not, no, no.
Touching the guys go by.
Cluck, click, cluck, click. Thank you. No, so they pass the snowman and hit it. No, I'm kidding. No, I fucked up.
I know, yeah.
I'm in such remorse just thinking that you were going to play it again.
I won't hit it again.
So they pass the snowman, and you can tell from that moment, Jess is going to ruin the snowman. And the very last thing we see is them riding back to their house on the carriage again, and the snowman is demolished. And they are sort of like, oh, hey, huh, looks like we win by default. And they're like happy about it. And my first thought was, that's awful. That sucks. That guy put so much work into his snowman.
Yeah,
and
he was just a professional.
Ruined it. Just ruined it for what?
Another A-plus prank from Jess Mariano.
Really? He's just racking, just
talking chalk outlines, gnomes in closets. Close-up magic, oh my God, and destroyed snowmen.
Every time I think about the close-up magic, I laugh. No, but the destroyed snowman, like, they tried to play it off like, how romantic of Jess. Oh, how kind. What a good moment for the Gilmores. They don't care about the quarters. They don't deserve to win. They're not actually the runners-up, if anyone judging that contest has any good taste.
No.
It was a thing that made me upset more than happy. It was like,
it's just destruction.
Right. It's
property.
Pure destruction. And I feel like maybe I'm getting, like, I'm turning into an old person when I'm just like, I don't think that boy should have hurt the snowman.
No, you're a responsible human being.
I pay taxes, and I learned what a fiduciary is 3 days ago.
Is that a women's hygiene product?
Yep.
Cool. So yeah, that we can both agree. Bad move. Because that was one of the Twitter Q&As. Do the Twitter Q&A theme song?
Twitter Q&A.
I think that was actually very close to what it was last time.
Oh, really?
Because it's been different every time.
Oh, man. Then I got to step it up. I'm supposed to do a different one. Twitter
Q&A. Lauren at Outlearns says, does knowing that Jess destroyed an incredible snowman so the Gilmore Girls Bjork snowman could win anger you guys as much as me?
Yeah.
The answer is yes. There was a lot of questions like, should he have destroyed that? And categorically, no. You're just being a little dick.
Right. There's no way. Even if, okay, let's say that the guy who made the snowman was an asshole and we're all rooting for him to destroy that snowman. Jess, like, Rory is dating someone. You're trying to pull moves on her to be like, look how romantic I am.
That is a boyfriend move. Yeah. It's manipulation.
It's pure manipulation, and it's the kind of manipulation that is like, I don't want to see them together because I don't want to root for this dude who's trying to be like, well, I'll do this for you. Dean didn't do this for you. Like, I don't like this guy.
Dean didn't totally disrespect another man's creation.
It's true. This guy worked hours upon hours to bring something to you and took me about 10 seconds to just kick it.
Gosh. And listen, because right now it's Jess v. Dean. And the exchange glances at the end, which is the first time he's like, what? You remember that at the end when everyone's leaving the inn?
The thing that pissed me off about that moment is Rory was kind of like, not giving him the eyes back, but kind of giving that shy, like, I don't, he is kind of cute look.
Yeah.
And I was just like, Rory, don't
do
this.
Don't
do this.
Yeah. And I think, and a friend of mine pointed this out too. The nice thing is, like, I think the beginning of Rory's attraction to Jess is also the beginning of her fallibility, of which she has not had a lot on the show.
No, she really hasn't.
Like, she's as pristine as could be. Probably the most perfect person on the show.
For sure.
What has she done that's like a big mistake? Not really anything.
Remember when she was late to school?
Ooh, a deer hitter. But then otherwise, I mean, I could truly watch 4 episodes of townies having dinner with each other. Oh,
very much so. Like, that's all I wanted the episode to be.
And that's the, no pun intended, meat and potatoes of it. And I mean, you know.
The only redeeming Rune moment of this episode was when he was asking the guy playing the trumpet just to, like, move, and he kept pushing the thing away.
Oh, you know what he called him, too?
What did he call him?
He called him, I gotta look it up. It was, he called him Chuck Mangione? Mangoin? Mangoin?
Chuck Mangoin?
What the hell did he call him? But anyway, it's this guy. He called him this guy. Chuck Mangoin.
Wait, pass him more. I can't. He looks like Jimi Hendrix in a hat.
Chuck Man... What? How the hell do you pronounce
Mangione?
Mangione. Oh, yeah, look, Chuck Mangione. It might be that. Anyway, we'll post this to Twitter, because it is the album cover for a Chuck Mangione album called Feel So Good, and... The picture looks so good.
Yeah.
Looks Rune, too good not to share.
Rune really nailed the comparison.
Totes.
Before we get off the episode of Jess, or before we get off the topic of Jess completely, 2 Jess moments that stuck out to me is like, what's your problem, dude? Mm-hmm. One, when Lorelai announces that they got horses and sleighs, they cut to Luke and Jess, and they give each other a look like, oh, we hate horses and sleighs. Like, what's their problem?
They had weird bro bonding moments throughout the show where they're like, the one line I liked, the one kind of Jess moment I kind of liked,
yeah,
is when they're at the dinner table, and they're doing all the pomp and circumstance with the squire and the blah, 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 and Jess says,
we should have eaten before we came. And yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They bond so much over their hatred of things, and it feels so weird to be like, oh, I'm glad they're getting along, but at the same time, it's like,
over
that's all
shitting
they have.
Over people. Yeah. Yeah.
It was exactly. Such a nice moment of Lorelai trying to do something, and they just look at each other immediately, just like, oh no, our 2 least favorite things. But also...
what's the other moment?
The other weird moment is, so there's a point where Dean comes to the inn with his sister, and then his sister drags him off somewhere, and Rory looks behind her and sees Jess just staring at a painting in the corner. He's like standing between a bush and a painting, and it's not like... It's a painting in a hotel. It's not a museum. What is he doing? He's just trying to be like, yeah, I like art. And then he looks over at Rory. Like, it's clear that
and
he was just kind of...
It's probably something Babette painted. It's not, probably not worth days for like 20 minutes.
He was clearly just standing there to sort of like eavesdrop on whatever conversations were happening. He there's no way he was going to be like, yep, time to appreciate all this art. That's what I came here for.
I'm here for the art, not for the love of the game.
Yeah.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, unlike anything I've ever talked about on the air, I actually stand by Squarespace. I actually do, because I've used it for everything I've made. Literally, GilmoreGuysShow.com, the very website for this very podcast, was made using Squarespace. How beautiful is that? KevinTPorter.com, I made that using Squarespace. My old bake shop website, that was made using Squarespace. Because you can do it all with Squarespace. You can sell content on your website. So exclusive stuff behind a paywall. You can sell memberships, courses, or sell files your customers can download, like PDFs, music, or ebooks. You can do that with Squarespace. You can do analytics with Squarespace. So you can figure out who's visiting your website and why, and figure out how to get traffic and where's it coming from. You can also have people do flexible payments on Squarespace. Make checkout seamless for your customers with simple but powerful payment tools. Accepts credit cards, PayPal, Apple Pay, and in eligible countries, offer customers the option to buy now and pay later with Afterpay and ClearPay. How nice is that? You can also do email campaigns, so there's constant outreach for your stuff and people know where to find you. So I'm going to let you know where to find Squarespace. Head to squarespace.com for a free trial, and when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/GilmoreGuys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now let's talk about your social battery. Maybe right now it's bursting at the seams with energy. Maybe it's a little drained. Maybe you're one of those people like my friend with their phone battery that keeps it 2% all the time, even when they stay home all day. And they definitely could charge up if they wanted to, but they don't.
Well, regardless of where it is, it's important to understand why it is the way it is. Why is the battery low when it gets low? Is it because you're feeling less social? Is it because you're feeling sad? Is it because of emotions you've yet to identify? Or maybe just boundaries you haven't set for yourself yet? Either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? How do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, maybe you don't. Maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. This is so important because I've been in therapy for 10 plus years, for some would say, technically, 11 years this month, and it's helped me so much understand where I get my energy from, how I use my energy, how to better use my energy, and how to maintain things in a way that's sustainable and healthy and good. And that's to do, of course, with boundaries, but also just understanding who I am and what I want. And I couldn't have done so much of that work without therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/GilmoreGuys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GilmoreGuys.
Let's talk about the economics of this.
About how...
So the scenario is like the Bracebridge group, whoever the hell they are. They get snowed in, but the dinner's already paid for. And so they're like, we have all this food. We have all this blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So everyone's just dining out on these poor people's like money, right?
Right.
They paid for everything.
My thing is... they're probably crazy rich because they rent out the whole hotel. I wonder how big this group is. And also, would they not ask for a portion of the deposit back or something? Like, what's the deal here?
Wouldn't that be customary, too? Like, a cancellation, especially if it's due to weather. Or did Lorelai make the contract so strict, it's like, no matter if you, like, die or you're in a snowstorm, like, you will not...
I understand that they would keep some of the money because mm-hmm. Sookie did spend all that time cooking and they had to clear out the inn. And, like, obviously they've lost a lot of business mm-hmm. since no one can stay in that room. But it seems weird to then go, hey, looks like everything's free for a bit, you know?
Yeah. It seemed kind of, I don't know, douchey? Mm.
I don't know if douchey's the...
fiduciary?
Fiduciary. It seems pretty fiduciary.
Fiduciary.
No, it's... I don't know. It seems inconsiderate, maybe. Like, imagine hearing about that and then... like, if you were part of the Bracebridge group and you hear about that and you're just like, yeah, we did fill the inn, though. Everyone got there for free.
Yeah, imagine if this was on during, like, the era of Instagram... and they say, like, hashtag Bracebridge dinner.
Yeah,
it's just like Kirk doing a selfie with Bootsy or something.
My God.
They're like, who are these a-holes?
Yeah. It would be full of Kirk doing selfies.
Yeah.
And maybe Bootsy doing accidental pictures.
Kirk's definitely done nude selfies before by now.
Whoa. I mean, didn't we get confirmation of that?
Season 9. Yeah. Oh, I guess he was already doing them. Yeah. You're right.
Speaking of Bootsy, though. New favorite townie.
Hotel California, did I sing that?
Did I sing that? That explains the lumps.
Great moment. Yeah. And then Invisible Grace with Mrs. Kim.
Yeah.
Did you say Silent Grace? Oh, good one.
Yeah.
Guys, tweet at Emily Kuroda. Have her come on the show because we love her so very much.
Very much so.
And then otherwise... oh, let's talk about... let's talk about all the Christopher shit in this episode.
Because
there's a lot, and there's a lot that is not good in terms of how Lorelai reacts to him.
Oh, very much so. I was a little upset that she did all that.
In this episode and in 211, I will say, again, not great for Lorelai.
No.
She's a charming little talker, but listen, guys.
In the next episode, she has a moment where it was like, oh, she's back on top. But it was like the moments where she acts properly, it feels weird to say properly, but like where she acts in the way that I would expect a parent to act,
mm-hmm.
it feels out of character for her, and that's how I know that, like, I feel like
oh, that's
she
interesting,
shouldn't
yeah,
be because there's a moment in the next episode where she does something that we'll get into in the next episode, but she does something and immediately I was like, this is weird, but not necessarily bad, just a very, like, it didn't feel like it was her. Anyway.
Yeah, we'll get into it. But
we're letting them make some weird decisions.
Christopher calls and he's like, hey, I want to spend time with Rory. She can stay with us, meet Sherry, his current girlfriend, who we do end up meeting later on. So you'll get to see Sherry. And Lorelai just totally, like, tucks in her. And then they're going through the mail, and she's like, oh, yeah, I must have put that somewhere else, where it's like a greeting card from him or something. Like, at no point, I cannot argue on Lorelai's behalf. I can't play devil's advocate and be like,
it's a very childish way to act.
Oh, yeah, cutting off your contact with your father. Yeah, that is a good idea.
He was a dick once. He wasn't, though.
You think she's still raw that he didn't tell her about Sherry, and that's why she's acting like that? Because the last time he was in town, it was for her coming out party, for Rory's coming out party.
I don't think that's it. I think it was purely the fact that she wanted
selfish.
To be. Yeah, it was.
This is my time. This is my time. Yeah, and then there's finally that moment where Lorelai's like, yeah, I wanted you to myself, blah, 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 da, da, da. And Rory's like, girl? And Rory is completely in the right.
Oh, very much so.
And which sucks. It goes back to Tara Copeland's theory about this show, about a daughter raising a mother.
It really
is. To some degree. And then we get Emily comes into the room. Well, let's talk about Emily and Richard's whole plot.
Oh, my God.
And their storyline, which is great.
It's a terrific plot for them. It's coming off of Edward Herman's passing. This is probably one of the strongest things to see, just because it's
he's so dynamic.
He's very dynamic. We see him at his funnest. We see him very sad and earnest. We see him reacting to Emily, and that pairing just being so great. It's a terrific moment, and there are so many funny moments that I had to soundboard in this episode
that
we'll get to when we start to talk about it. But
okay,
like,
let's do it.
Obviously, I'm sure you know some of them because it's Richard and
Richard.
But yeah. His story at the dinner was great.
Oh, yeah.
About the boom box.
The best is the way he punctuated and said, ha 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 ha.
Yeah. He, his exact words were actually, I believe,
if you're
and
not.
I kept it.
He's telling a story about how he was singing and he was expecting the people to drop money out of his feet. And then Emily goes, and some people actually did drop quarters. And then he just goes,
and I kept it.
It's almost an evil laugh. But the way that he, the fact that it's him delivering it, I can't think of anyone evil. I'm just like, what a jolly rich old man who gets delighted by like $2 in quarters on the street. I kept it.
Oh my God. Yeah. So that scene, and then obviously, when it comes out, oh, I was a part of the insurance business, and now I quit.
Weren't you so bummed out to, like, from the tone of it all, you could tell that because he was so high up and, like, so happy that something was about, like, it was about to come crumbling down?
Yeah.
Yeah, that bummed me
out. You could definitely tell.
It almost ruined it for me. Like, I loved seeing him at that high, but I knew that it came with knowing that something was about to go on.
They figured it out, though. I mean, yeah. So Emily comes in to Lorelai in Rory's room, and she's like, I'm not going back in that room. Blah, 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 da, da, da. And she stays in there. And then there's that moment where they do their makeup in the mirrors. How'd you feel about that?
My first question was, wait, why do you have to use the mirror, Lorelai? I was very confused.
Oh, she's like, what?
She was like, can I use your mirror in the bathroom? And Lorelai says, sure, I'll use the one out here. Why? Why did she need to use the mirror? Period.
Because they were applying something, right? Taking something.
But like,
off?
Wasn't she already about to? I don't know. It seemed like they said that for that moment, but it seemed like it didn't actually. She didn't need to say that.
It seemed superfluous.
Yeah, but no, that was a great moment.
It was a touching little
bit.
It was very stage-like, which I enjoyed
very much. So, and then Rory says, "I see my future," and Lorelai's just like, "Oh, no."
And then you see Emily in her pajamas for the first time.
Richard and Emily's pajamas.
Let's talk about it. Oh, they're matching robes.
Yes.
Yes.
It was like this Knight of the Roxbury looking robe. He looked like a Vegas high roller.
Mm-hmm.
The first thing that I thought of when Richard walks on screen, I don't know why, but I was like, it seems like Flintstones and Viva Rock Vegas. It's like this weird pattern that you see on like gaudy like Christmas gifts. I don't know. It was out of control.
Yeah.
And I loved it because my next thought was that's probably what rich people would wear to sleep. And I don't think Richard has any taste outside of suits.
True to life.
Or maybe that was like True a gift that character. Someone gave him. It's like, I do need pajamas.
Well, I am already in my pajamas. Yeah, beautiful. And then is that my favorite scene of the episode? It's when he's talking to Emily. And he has that great monologue about when he quits.
I don't need to remind you about how I've been feeling at work. My frustration just built to the point where, again, you know this. So I arranged to meet the CEO yesterday just to talk about the situation and about the rumors I'd heard floating around. So I met with Floyd. We shook hands, had coffee, and then I started telling him about how unhappy I'd become. I detailed all my years with the company, all the travel I'd done, all the weekends I'd put in, the sacrifices I'd made, including time with my family, for the firm. And the more I talked, the angrier I became. And then, suddenly, I heard myself resign. Just like that. Floyd was stunned. I never seen Floyd stunned. I enjoyed seeing Floyd stunned.
I enjoyed seeing Floyd stunned.
Yeah.
Like, everything is just so delicious and perfect. And then you see Emily's face, and she's just like, you can see her make the decisions in her head while he's talking to, because he's like, well, I've gone over our financials, and he puts on his little, you know, glasses. He's like, I think we'll be okay through this part of the year, and blah, 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 and da, da, da. And she just has that longing look at him, and she's like, let's go to bed.
Yeah.
What's interesting about it, too, is that the hurt comes from a similar place that I feel like the hurt comes from with the Max engagement. It's being out of the loop. It's not the. It's right. not getting the information.
It's her feeling like she's being, like, she doesn't matter.
Yeah, that she's unnecessary or an extra component to people's lives. And, I just thought that was interesting that there was that parallel. Granted, I think it's probably more egregious when it's your husband, the man you live with and do your life with, than it is for your sort of estranged daughter and her engagement. I mean, that's really bad,
too. I think it's hard for any sort of, like, anyone in your family. But obviously, when it's the person that is directly supposed to be, like, more connected to you than anyone else in the world, it's sort of hard, understandably.
And then, I mean, we've kind of covered all the great stuff.
There's one moment we missed.
Miss Patty?
No, when they're riding on the sleigh and she says, what does she say? Something.
Oh, them on the sleigh was the best thing in the world. Oh my gosh, why did we not talk about it? I'm so sorry.
Okay, so Emily says that something makes her hurt or something.
Whoa.
No, I know. She says something.
Roller coasters?
No, she says something, or maybe it's like roller coaster shake me or something. And Richard says, not more than the other thing. And Emily says, what's the other thing? And Richard goes,
Richard, stop it.
Yay.
He just gives her this sort of and my note was, ha ha ha, horny Richard.
I mean, true.
Oh my God.
Richard, stop it.
He has a lot of moments where he takes the personality and, like, the affectations of weird rich old people. Like, if I hear that sound, I'm like, oh, that's like a greedy banker or something in a comic book rubbing his hands. Yeah. But, like, it's all pure joy.
Yes.
And it's so funny. But also, he's romantic in the that same beat. He talks about taking her on a roller coaster and them doing it together, and it's so sweet.
Yeah, and that's where they might cement their position in my book as the best couple thus far of the show.
For sure.
Hands down. But maybe best couple ever. There's nothing. Everything about that scene is perfect. Their chemistry is perfect. Their dialogue is perfect. It's a perfect scene.
Yeah.
Even though you know something bad's coming.
Yeah, no, it feels like building a Jenga tower where it's just like, it's great. And it's the more that we get to see it, it's terrific. But we know it's crashing down so soon.
I know.
But you mentioned Miss Patty. We got to talk about Miss Patty, who is always running. She's always shooting at full. She's great.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so they're at the dinner table, and she's staring at the dude in the tights.
Claude.
Lorelei, darling, who is this silver fox with the tight knee socks?
Oh, that's Claude. He's one of our regular servers, divorced and on the market.
Oh, well, the uniform is interesting.
All right. I'll have him bathed, powdered, and sent to your room.
What? Oh, you joke? Was that a joke?
So, I mean, man to man, she's looking at his dick, right?
What? Is she looking at it? I didn't. Right? Is it weird that I didn't think of that?
I mean, okay. Well,
I assume. No, I'm saying, like, probably. Knowing Miss Patty. Because
that's got to be the whole thing. Or is it his little butt? Or I don't know.
Knowing Miss Patty, she's staring at his dick.
Yeah.
She's staring at that dang the brace bridge.
It's all about the D, man.
His little Lord brace bridge. No. Yeah, the funny thing about it is all the time that she's talking about this, Paris is right next to her and just giving these looks just like, I chose the wrong seat. I should move. I wish there was someone else to talk
to. Wait, I didn't catch the Paris looks. Oh, shit. I need to rewatch it.
It's the kind of looks that, like, if Paris were an extra, she'd be doing the same thing, but it's Paris, so you know that behind those looks is like, I cannot believe that I have to sit next to this woman.
Oh, my gosh.
It's great.
That was the best. Okay, well, here's what's confusing to me is we'll get into Paris stuff. I wrapped it up like 20 minutes ago like an idiot. We have so much to talk about.
No, I mean, we don't have that much
to talk. But Paris coming to the inn. First of all, how does she get there if the Bracebridge people are snowed in? Because Paris should be around the Hartford area, right?
I thought that they were... Wait, are they coming from Hartford, the Bracebridge people?
I don't know.
I thought it was Chicago or something.
It was... Oh, you're right. I'm stupid. Never mind.
Because I thought that too at one point, but at the same thing, I was like, how are people getting to the inn if it's snowed out? But
right.
I don't know.
So Paris coming.
Still, how is she getting there? How did she...
Car.
Does she drive?
Yeah. You see her driving the concert in Reptus in season one.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
Funny moment is realizing that Paris calls her nanny.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think Paris is too... I mean, obviously Paris is too old to have a nanny, but that's just a thing of her parents not being there.
It's so sad.
It really is.
She's like, I'll read the Iliad for the third time.
That I get bummed out whenever Paris is made to be a nerd, because I feel like she'd be cool, you know?
She would be cool now.
She would be cool now. And I think that her relationship with Rory is almost completely founded on the fact that, like, they're both bookworms and stuff, but Rory seems like a cooler bookworm than Paris.
Well, she's made out to be a cooler
bookworm. Yeah. Maybe it's just like she's like high strung but relaxed when she needs to be, whereas Paris is like always high strung.
Totally.
Yeah. And I feel hearing about her reading the Iliad three times bummed me out. Even though she's like, it's not nerdy to her.
It's not doing nothing.
Yeah.
I can't do. She has the most distinct voice.
It's not
in the
doing
world.
That. Yeah, it's very distinct.
It's like, how would you just. It's not nasally. It's just kind of. How is it affected? I love it. It sounds great, but I can't accurately describe what it's like.
Yeah, I can't either.
So, Twitter, give us some accurate descriptions of Paris Geller's voice.
Hashtag Paris Geller's voice be like.
Yeah, get that on Vine. Let's get some Gilmore Guys Vines going. Yeah, okay. I mean, I feel like that's most of the...
Any
loose ends? It was a pretty chill episode. Like, nothing really... I guess the only thing that advanced is... you know what we need to talk about is... two more things.
What? Two more things?
Two more things I want to bring up. One, Lorelei calling... saying to her dad, you look fat. Just no, why no mercy.
Yeah. And she was like, oh, I guess that isn't really or whatever.
Yeah, Lorelai's stupid.
And how did we go to hate Lorelei so quickly?
I don't hate her. I don't hate her.
I just...
She is very immature.
If she were a real person, like, if we were friends with Lorelei, we would just be so upset with her all the time.
If we were friends with Lorelei, every time after we hung out with her, we'd be texting each other, sorry about that, man.
Yeah. She's like, that was not cool what yeah. she did. I have to apologize.
We would still be friends with her because she's so fun to be around. Yeah. But we'd be like...
Plus, she's the king and queen of the damn town.
Yeah.
People are destroying snowmen for...
People are destroying what?
Oh, I didn't even say it.
That's the sad part.
I didn't even say it.
Yeah, what are they destroying?
Elsa?
Do you want to build a snowman?
You guys missed this? Kevin just snapped the door knocking part. Anyway. Kevin just snapped it with pitch perfect accuracy. As if he was just casually like, never heard the song before.
Huh. I've not been able to listen to the song without crying. No, I did last time I listened to it.
You also did it just now. You're not crying?
Yeah, that's right.
That's true. I'm not.
Not yet. And then Jess and Dean, the fight getting broken up at school. We didn't even touch on that.
That was the first moment of Jess in the episode, and I immediately, like, I was...
From minute one, you were like, you piece of shit.
I don't know why he swung at Dean, and I wish that I, when it was...
I'm not gonna fight you!
Yeah, when they were explaining the fight, I thought, oh, maybe it'll come out that he was fighting that dude for a good reason. And he's just like, no, I was fighting that guy because he was a jerk. And Roy goes, he is a jerk, but still, it was like, they're both jerks.
Good grief.
Yeah. I don't like that he swung at Dean. I don't feel like that was ever, like, made up for. I don't feel like Dean is in the wrong to be like, what the hell, dude?
Mm-hmm.
But he plays it off like, ah, come on, I'm just jostling around. No, you swung at his face.
Yeah, it was weird. The physicality, there's a guy named at Film Crit Hulk.
Oh, I love Film Crit Hulk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he, it's not this, but it's another one. He cites some of the fight choreography on the show to be the best he's ever seen in any TV or movie.
Like most realistic?
Isn't that funny? Yeah, like the most realistic. It's not like Wire Fu or something, right. But it's...
I could definitely see that. It's.
It didn't look bad in this episode. No, it looked
like they were just like, go fight.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, exactly. They said, go fight.
Or it looked like they were like, Jess, I heard that dude was talking shit about you. Hey, dude, I heard Jess was talking shit about you. And they just were like, all right, you guys should meet at the courtyard 3.
And go. Let's give it a low rating.
This episode, the end of this podcast, just devolves into a minute of us just doing Fast and the Furious noises.
It's just our sound effects, yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to give this... No, this is a good episode. I think it's a great episode for everyone. I think that even with the Lorelai moments where she... I was like, don't acknowledge it. Don't give him the time of day. Even with the Elsa. No! Even with the Lorelai moments where we are further given reason to not really root for her anymore, I think that it's a good episode for everyone. I think everyone... sort of gets more of their personality brought out. I think it's an incredible episode for Emily and Richard. I am going to give this episode 4 out of 5 boom boxes.
Ooh.
Boom box.
Boom boxes. And then I took it. Ah. And then I kept it.
And then I kept it. Ah.
And I kept it.
Ah. rest in peace, man.
Yeah.
Then we didn't say Patty's line. It's that the Biloxi naval base all over again.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
I love this episode. Everyone's so enjoyable in it. And it really is just like, let's all hang out.
Yeah.
And this snowy dinner. This is like the fantasy of what a small town would actually be like.
Yeah.
And I love it. I'm going to give it 10 out of 10.
Wow.
Well, is it a 10 out of 10? Because that means it's like, I've only given like 1 or 2 episodes the full Monty.
Honestly, I'm going to go ahead and revise mine to 9 out of 10, just because in thinking about it, I didn't have too many problems with it, and it feels weird for me to say, like, it's still 8, but what do you think?
I think, what would be the one thing that holds me back from giving it a great rating? Some of the stuff is a little sitcom-y.
Yeah.
Like, some of it's like, blah, blah, blah. Like, it just seems kind of gaggy. Whereas in other episodes of the show, it's super grounded, but some of it's a little gaggy. So I'm going to give it 9 out of 10. Snowman.
Elsa?
Do you want to build a snowman?
That It's like a good jingle.
Yeah.
It's very complete.
For selling snowmen, I guess.
All right, so is that it? Seems kind of short because we're not an hour 40 into it. But yeah, that's it.
Yeah. 2 hours for us is like, all right, I think we're good.
We're donezo with this one. So yeah, I feel, you know what it is? I feel like, because the Bracebridge dinner has such a place in the canon that we should have like spent 2 hours talking about it. But we said everything.
I think that one of the reasons it has a place in the canon is because it's kind of...
There's not much to critique,
yeah,
I would say.
There's not... They don't... Everyone gets their moment. Everyone lands that moment, mm-hmm. and it's done.
Totally.
It's not a high-tension episode. It's all of the conflict is talking. There's not much of... no one is... The fight withstanding, like, there isn't too many moments where it's like, what? This is a physical thing that we... I guess that's a lot of the show.
But mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's a good episode.
Great app. All right. Well, then, let's plug it up.
How are we going to do that? How do we end these things? I don't remember. New year, new us.
New year, new us. Well?
Same old...
Song? Yes. Well, we need to plug stuff first.
Oh, my bad. Here I was sitting like, why aren't you leaning over to play this?
Okay. At Gilmore Guys Show on Twitter, obviously. I am at Kevin T. Porter on Twitter and Instagram.
I'm at Electra Lemon on OKCupid and on, I can't think of another social, Twitter and Facebook.
On LinkedIn.
Twitter and LinkedIn. Twitter and Vine. I don't know why I plug Vine.
Your vines are divine, bro.
No, I hate Vine.
Dude.
Whoa. Vine Superstar Demi Adijuibe comes out and says
he hates Vine.
I please don't ever refer to me as Vine Superstar again.
Yeah, that's true. You never mind.
So anyway.
You're a good man. You're a good man, Charlie Brown.
Okay. Yeah. So follow us if you want to, and follow the show for updates. And we'd love to hear from you guys. You can email us at GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com.
Yeah, do that for our next Gilmail Guys episode.
Emaily Gilmore. We have too many names.
So yeah, thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for helping us ring in the new year. And we hope that you laugh as joyously in this new year as Richard does in that one scene where he sounds like a dirty old man.
A dirty old man.
Too stubborn.
And I kept it.
And I kept that clip. I love that clip so much.
Great clip.
Richard laughing always is, because I remember the first thing that I did on this.
Feeling.
As Kevin did that, he looked at me just like, I don't care. I'm done. We're done with the episode. No.
JK, I care.
But the first thing that I recorded for the soundboard was Richard laughing in the golfing episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So Richard laughing will always get a joyous giggle out of me.
Yeah, we love that laugh. So great performance, great actor, great character. Here's to 2015. Here's to...
New year, new us.
New year, new... Well, same old us
same,
in a lot of ways.
The exact same show.
6, 7, 8.
You're out on the road, feeling lonely and so cold. All you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. I will follow anywhere
that you tell me to.
If you need me, I will follow. Oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need me to be with you, I will follow where you lead.
Zabenya! Sick-a-boom.
I like that song.
I like that song.
Yeah. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.